In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
As we prepare ourselves now on this first day of the week to give God glory and praise, we get ready for this holy duty by purifying ourselves, making us right before God, by asking His help to acknowledge our sins so that we might turn to Him for the mercy and help we need. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-present Father, your watchful care reaches from end to end and orders all things in such power that even the tensions and tragedies of sin cannot frustrate your loving plan. Help us to embrace your will. Give us the strength to follow your call, so that your truth may live in our hearts and reflect peace to those who believe in your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the Lord.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her vindication shines forth like the dawn and her victory like a burning torch. Nations shall behold your vindication, and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, pronounced by the mouth of the Lord. You shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held by your God. No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same God. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom, to another the expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another mighty deeds, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another, varieties of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them individually to each person as he wishes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it had come from, although the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when the people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some of you might remember hearing these words: "Have you come here freely and without reservation to give yourselves to each other in marriage? Will you love and honor each other as man and wife for the rest of your lives? Will you accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and his church?" Contained in these promises are the characteristics God designed the relationship between married spouses to have. These characteristics can be summed up in 4 words: free, faithful, fruitful, total. Free, that each person, each spouse, comes to the wedding freely. The opposite would be an arranged marriage. Faithful, that they would remain faithful and forsake all others for the rest of their lives. Fruitful, that they would be open to biological life, but also to giving fruit to spiritual life to those whose lives they touch. And total, that they would give themselves completely and without reservation to the other. Thus, on their wedding day, the church asks a couple if they are willing to live the married life according to God's plan. Now there are 7 sacraments: baptism, reconciliation, Eucharist, confirmation, anointing of the sick, and holy orders and marriage. Which sacrament came first? Marriage. It began with Adam and Eve. So marriage is the primordial sacrament. Marriage is ideally the closest relationship most of us will ever experience with another human being. Why is marriage so significant to our understanding of God? God wants to marry us. God wants to have a close relationship with us. I'm not making this up. It comes from our first reading from Isaiah. Isaiah says that God wants to marry Jerusalem. The church, from the time of Jesus, has understood that it is the new Jerusalem. So God wants to marry us, to love us, the members of the church. Now this is a metaphor, an image, and metaphors aren't perfect. They aren't 100% true. Therefore, we cannot take everything we know about marriage and apply it to God's relationship with us. However, that said, Of all the images of how God loves us, marriage may be the least inadequate. Therefore, it is fitting that God's ministry to humanity in the Old Testament in Genesis begins with the marriage of Adam and Eve. And so also in the New Testament, it begins with the ministry of Jesus to humanity with a marriage. In the Gospel, Jesus performs his first miracle at a wedding. After spending 30 years hidden away in a normal life, Jesus is now ready to reveal to others that he is God incarnate. Or is he ready? In Jesus' time, to run out of wine was a huge embarrassment. Out of concern for the reputation of her friends, Mary asked Jesus to do something about the wine running out. He tells Mary, his mother, that his time has not yet arrived. But notice carefully what Mary does next. She does not disobey Jesus, who is God. For what does she say? Do whatever he tells you. She does not go over Jesus' head. She left it open for Jesus to tell the servants to do nothing, that it was not his time or place for him to help them. However, urged on by his mother, Jesus helps out the married couple and changes the water into wine. Mary interceded for the couple to Jesus, who is God. Mary intercedes for us today, just as she did for the couple back then. Mary is a powerful intercessor. That is why the rosary is one of the most powerful weapons we Christians have. Recently, my sister was talking to a friend about her frustration of not being able to conceive. Her friend told her to get a miraculous medal. A miraculous medal was created by St. Catherine Labouré, based on a vision she received in 1830. A month later, my sister was pregnant. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but Mary is in heaven, desiring and waiting to intercede for us. Again, Jesus begins his work to save us from our sins with a miracle at a wedding. This is appropriate because God is not just a judge, punishing us if we do something wrong and then leaving us in jail. No, God invites us into his family, the family of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want us just to be an obedient member of society, but rather he wants to adopt us and make us his son and daughter. Characteristics of an ideal Christian marriage, which all couples must strive for, are the characteristics of God's perfect love for us. It is free, faithful, fruitful, and total. That is why the Mass is so important. We gather here as the family of God. It is also why we must act as a member of God's family all week long. Therefore, I challenge us to spend more time together with family and with God. I recently read that the average couple spends 29 minutes together a week. I challenge you married couples to spend more time together, even without the kids. Go out on a weekly date. Kids are happiest and healthiest when they feel their home situation is secure. Even better, invite God into that time. Maybe pray together first thing in the morning. And of course, as you have done today, go to Mass together as a family. And all of us, I challenge us to spend 5 minutes in silence a day with God, not only talking to God, but listening as well. For God loves us deeply, more deeply than any spouse can love the other. God wants to marry us. Just as in a healthy marriage, spouses need to spend time together, we need to spend time with God if our relationship with God is going to be healthy. When we do so, we will experience more of God's love, be able to love God back and love others. Coming to Mass this morning is, again, one of the best ways you can experience God's love. But we can always do more to deepen our relationship with God.